we present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday. In June 1942, two German U-boats headed quietly into American waters, aimed at two isolated beaches. On board each craft was a team of four men, eight specialists, primed for an audacious mission, codenamed Operation Pistorius. But neither team knew of another passenger with an even greater mission that could shake the world. He was the Ninth Man. The Ninth Man. A chilling story based on historical fact by John Lee and dramatized for radio in 25 episodes by Victor Maxson.
This without the director's permission?
You might say that.
I understand. All right, where should we meet?
We might meet in some ordinary place, or, how about the Washington Monument, or the inside, about a third of the way up the steps? Okay? Say about 4 o'clock this afternoon?
I'll be there. Credentials of the man he had murdered, Bob Shepard, had made it. He had breached the White House grounds, run the gauntlet of watchful suspicion, bluffed his way past two checkpoints, and was as free to come and go as any of the legitimate White House newsmen who labored or loafed daily in the press room.
Well, you've made it. You're in the White House press room, and not one of the 20 or 30 reporters or photographers have even given you a second glance. They're so used to cataclysmic events that they probably find it difficult to arouse any enthusiasm for the minor ones.
Yes, well, they must go easy at first. Learn the ropes and the pecking order before sitting at one of the desks and running the risk of offending tradition or any of the highly placed correspondents. I need anonymity, at least until I've figured out the best way to take advantage of my new entree. Once I've worked out all the bugs, I can set the roles for the backup men, make final contact with the two submarine teams, and start the clock ticking.
Well, at least you know the layout of the building. For example, that door on the left, leading out of the reception lobby, takes you to the fish room. And beyond that is the long, rectangular cabinet room with its windows facing the rose garden. And in the southeast corner of the executive wing, the far opposite corner from the press room, behind the closed doors and the blank walls, beyond uncertain and unseen barriers, lies your eventual objective, the Oval Office.
I'll have to see to it somehow. I have to get beyond the closed doors into the working area. Otherwise, I'm working blind, and I can't afford to work blind. I have to know every door, every turning, every danger, for him to get out alive. Now, Where is the president's office? Could it be behind those closed doors near the end of the lobby?
No. More likely, off to the side. Perhaps cordoned off by anterooms and alcoves, guarded by platoons of Secret Service men.
Could I, if I had my gun right now, manage to break my way past the guards, storm through the inner corridors, reach the man in the wheelchair, shoot him down? Could I snuff the man out impetuously before anyone could stop me?
Hey, you! Where do you think you're going? Who are you? What are you doing back here?
I'm one of the White House correspondents. I was just taking a look around.
I've never seen you before. What paper do you represent?
Denver Chronicle. I'm new.
Well, let me see your identification.
Yes, sir. Here it is. I'm sorry, officer. Was I wrong to come back here? No one said anything about it being off limits.
No, sir. It isn't off limits. It's just that we have to keep our eyes and ears open. You're a new face, see? And we can't be too careful.
Would you rather I sat in the press room? I don't want to create any problems.
No, that isn't necessary. Just don't be surprised if you get tapped for your ID every once in a while. At least until we get used to you. Lots of new people around these days. It's hard for us to keep the faces straight.
Thank you, officer. I'll try not to be a bother.
Captain Blazek?
Yeah?
Oh, there's quite a climb up here. I called you earlier today.
Yeah. What would you like to talk about, Mr. Carter? Would you like to hear my story, or has the director already made up his mind?
Oh, now, Captain, don't be bitter. You have to realize that, there's always some resistance to outside interference. We get a great many calls in the course of our varied investigations. Most of them from people who...
Crackpots?
I thought it wouldn't hurt to listen. If you're willing to talk to me, that is.
Well, yes, I am. You're the first FBI person who's shown any interest. Frankly, this thing's too big for me. I'm not equipped to handle it.
Then you really think one of the spies is here? You're serious?
Of course I am. I'm more convinced every minute. Things keep adding up. Look... A woman was killed in a boarding house last week. And the man who killed her didn't move in until after the submarine landing in New York. Point. The police searched the man's room after he ran away and found all new clothing purchased after he moved in. I saw the sales slips. Point. And he killed her on Thursday, the day that informer of yours came to Washington from New York. I think there might be a connection.
I don't think so. You can forget that last one. I'm on one of the interrogation teams. I've talked to the informer myself a number of times. We don't think he had any connection with a spy in Washington.
Are you sure?
Well, that's what the guy says. I tend to believe him.
Then why did he come down here? Why didn't he just give himself up in New York?
You have to know the guy to understand. He's role-playing. He thinks of himself as a patriot rather than a spy. We think he came here because he thought... He thought he was going to be dealing with the director himself.
Fat chance. I'm willing to bet he never got within 10 miles of the director. You guys protect the son of a bee like he was stuffed with a crown jewel.
Now, Captain, that isn't necessary to characterize the director that way. He's really a very remarkable man. He's seldom wrong, you know.
Did the informer get to see him?
Well, no.
Well, that's what I figured. Anyway, this time I think he's wrong. Maybe the killing didn't have anything to do with the arrival of the informer, but there are other things. This guy who killed the woman was carrying a gun. He took a shot at one of the boarding house people before he ran. And there's more. The police found $20,000 hidden in the kitchen. They think it might have belonged to the man. It was water-soaked, as though someone might have carried it through surf.
Water-soaked?
Right.
Yeah, that's odd. As you may know, Captain, we confiscated over $80,000 from Dash, our informer. Some of it was water-soaked, too.
Oh, you see? Now, that's what really got me interested, the money. I saw it day before yesterday. I went down to the police station to check it out, and they showed me all sorts of things they took out of this guy's room at the boarding house. Now, here comes the scary part. I saw a handful of railroad timetables with little scribbled notations in the margins. Well, I don't know all that much about railroad schedules, but I know enough to tell you he was timing trains on a stretch of track that carried the presidential train only 2 days after he killed the woman.
You think he was after the train?
I'm not sure yet. I turned the figures over to a guy who works at Union Station. He's going to try to pinpoint the exact area and give me a call this weekend. But I'll tell you this, though. I think this man was setting up something before he killed the woman and was forced to run. If it was the train, I think he was probably waiting for help from those spies who landed in New York, and you guys fouled him up by arresting them.
Yeah, there could conceivably be something in it. Our informer told us they'd been taught to handle all sorts of explosives and sabotage.
Uh-huh.
One of the prime interests was in railroad sabotage. But it's at variance with our information. The informer swears that both the remaining spies are in Chicago. We have no reason to disbelieve him. How would you explain that?
Yeah, well, it's so obvious it could bite you. Suppose there was another spy. A ninth man?
No, no way. There are only eight. I've questioned the informer on that point myself. Four men on each team. He should know. They trained together for several months.
Are you sure?
Oh, reasonably so.
No, are you sure? Absolutely, certainly, positively sure.
Damn it. No one can ever be absolutely sure about anything, but... But I can grant you this. The picture we've pieced together doesn't necessarily cancel your Washington theory.
Oh?
Well, we're still missing one of the eight. We've been looking for him almost a week now with no luck. If he's in Washington, that would explain a lot of things. Captain, maybe you ought to tell the president about this. Warn him to stay off trains for a while. At least until we locate the last man.
The president doesn't exactly ask my advice on such matters.
Well, do what you can. The important thing, of course, is for us to locate the missing man. Fast. Most of our people are still looking for him in Chicago. Why don't you approach the district police and see if you can get them to look for him here?
The police? What about the FBI? Couldn't you guys do it better?
It might be better if we limit it to the police for the moment. Now, you don't have to tell them exactly what they're looking for. Just say the White House has a special interest in the man who killed the woman at the boarding house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that way they won't call the FBI and file us up.
I thought you believed me.
Oh, I do, Captain. I'll help all I can. Not openly, of course. Well, not just yet, anyway.
But why? What's wrong in helping me openly?
I'm not even supposed to be talking to you. How would I explain it?
But Hal, if the man was trying for the president's train...
You don't understand. I can't go against the director's wishes without convincing him first. I've got to talk to him, persuade him, gently.
But when he hears about this, I mean, surely he's going to want...
It's the way he hears about it. I've got to go out and develop this material on my own, so it looks as though I did it without your help. I'll go to the police station and ask questions. I'll get them to show me the money and things. I know this may sound strange to you, Captain, but that's the way it has to be. If I just walk in and tell him I've talked to you, it could wreck my career. I like my job. I need it.
All right. But do it right away, will you? I just don't know how much time we've got. Talk to the police. Get your evidence worked up. Then go see your boss and talk to him. The eighth man is here in Washington. I'm sure of it. Now, if we don't get the FBI to switch its search here right away, something is going to happen, and none of us will be able to stop it. Right away. You hear?
Right away. Yeah, well, okay. When he gets back from New York, I'll think about it.
Whatever he may have thought or intended at the time, Special Agent Emerson Carter never had a chance to divert the FBI search for the eighth spy from Chicago to Washington, because the very next morning, Saturday, June 27, 1942, Herbert Hans Haupt brought the Chicago search to a close when he parked his recently purchased red Pontiac convertible in front of a Chicago hotel and went in to ask for a man whom he called Henry Nicholas. Federal agents from the Chicago Bureau, who had been on Huff's tail since Monday 22nd, deployed through the lobby and waited for the man to appear. To their immense relief, the man who came to the lobby to meet Haupt matched perfectly the informer's description of the missing German saboteur, Otto Neubauer, right down to the scar in the left cheek. The agents moved in quickly and apprehended them both.
Sure, I'm Herbert Haupt, but I'm no spy. You've got to believe me, I'm a loyal American citizen. I mean, the only reason I came to the hotel was to deliver a message. I came here to deliver a message for my uncle, Otto Haupt. He sent me here. It's his fault, not mine. He's a man you should be looking for. He used to be a Bundist. He's probably still working for them. I'm innocent. I haven't
done
anything.
The search for the ape man had ended on the 15th day after the landing.
President, I have some excellent news for you. We've broken the Nazi spy case. We just arrested the last two men in Chicago. We've got them all, sir. Every one of them. Yes, sir. In a mere 2 weeks. My men have outdone themselves, sir. A splendid example of teamwork. We may have stubbed our toes a time or two, but we've got them all, sir. Oh, just a minute, sir. Mr. President, one of my senior agents has suggested that we release this news to the press. Immediately. Perhaps if word gets back to Germany, it'll discourage any such future attempts. What's that, sir? Yes, sir. Names, backgrounds, everything we've managed to put together. With one exception, of course. I thought perhaps we shouldn't mention the informer. It might be a more effective deterrent if the Germans simply believe the FBI is too strong for them. Ah, about that Coast Guard youngster, Mr. President. I'm not sure I agree with you. Of course, we don't really care about things like public credit here at the Bureau, but wouldn't it appear more hazardous to the Germans if we didn't make a particular big thing of the accidental nature of their early discovery? I mean, actually, I should think they would be less likely to try it again if they simply thought it was the thoroughness and efficiency of the FBI which lay behind the capture of their men. Yes, sir. I'm glad you see my point. Very well. I'll notify newspaper and radio offices this evening in time for the Sunday morning deadlines, just as soon as my men can put together some press kits. What's that, sir? Yes, I'll be back in Washington tomorrow, just as soon as I get this press conference out of the way. Thank you, Mr. President. You're welcome, sir. Ah, the President is delighted. Gentlemen, you have my congratulations. Now let's get to it and see just how quickly we can get this press conference going.
Representatives of all major New York wire services and newspapers, alerted only half hour earlier, gathered at the FBI office in the federal building at Foley Square. They had no idea why they'd been summoned, apart from the notification that the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation would make a statement to the press at 9 o'clock. On a brightly lit table which stood out starkly in the semi-darkened room, amid fact sheets and stacks of photographs, were several enigmatic items. Small, brick-shaped bundles wrapped in paper. A few dark lumps which looked like fragments of coal. A board containing small, button-sized devices, not unlike dynamite caps. A gray-green military cap with a German insignia on the peak. Apart from the items on display, there was no hint of what the director was to say. No suggestion of the magnitude of the upcoming disclosure. When tension must have been reaching breaking point, a door opened to the rear of the lighted table, and the short, familiar figure of the director came marching into the circle of light, looking very somber and businesslike. The timing for the entrance was perfect.
Gentlemen of the press, I have a very important announcement to make.
Sunday, June 28th, 1942, the 16th day.
Wake up, sleepyhead.
What kind of day is it?
It is a gorgeous day. Come on, wake up. Goofy will be ready in a minute.
I'm looking forward to that.
I brought you the paper. Move over. And I can share it with you. You can let me have the funnies. I want to see what Flying Jenny is doing today.
Funnies? You're pulling my leg, a world in flames, and you want to look at the funnies? Don't you even want to peek at the front page?
I hate the war. I wish everyone were like me, and then there wouldn't be any wars. Here, let me take my section. There. Now you can look at your more serious stuff.
Thank you.
FBI capture of ape, landed by subs, thwarts spectacular Nazi plot to sabotage vital U.S. war plans.
Wait a minute, what is it? Sweetheart, what's wrong? You've gone as white as a sheet.
That was The Ninth Man by John Lee, adapted and directed for broadcasting in 25 parts by Victor Mackeson. You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world.